Hey, and welcome to Forecast, a show about climate science and climate scientists. Or at least it's usually a show about climate science and climate scientists. But today, we have a special edition for you going into the 2016 AGU. As you probably know, usually I spend about an hour talking to a scientist about their backstory and their interest in science, what they're working on, what they're excited about. But a lot of what I'm excited about in life outside of science is food, cooking, eating, drinking. So I posted a list of some of my favorite restaurants and places to go near Moscone at forecastpod.org. And to my surprise, it had a little bit of interest, at least on a relative scale for the blog part there. And so I thought I'd have a podcast on the same topic. And I got together with my colleagues, Grant Miura and Marella Bucci. And we sat down and talked for about 40 minutes about restaurants. Quick note on the audio, we recorded in Nature's offices in the Financial District in San Francisco. And the room's echoey. There's a lot of ventilation. I did what I could, but this is definitely a quick and dirty episode and really minimal editing. Hopefully it's some use and will prove inspirational in your non-science endeavors at AGU and beyond. Thanks. All right. Hey, everyone. It's Mike White from Nature. I'm the climate science editor today discussing the most important thing given the recent debacles with NASA and now EPA, which is the awesome restaurants available for attendees of the upcoming AGU meeting. And I have a post on this on forecastpod.org. And today I'm joined by two of my editorial colleagues in the San Francisco office to kind of hash through a few of these things. And they are?
Marella Bucci. I'm an editor at Nature Chemical Biology, one of the sister journals at Nature.
I'm Grant Miura. I'm an associate editor at Nature Chemical Biology as well.
Fantastic. So the way the website's organized is kind of by category. So we're going to kind of quickly go through anything that Grant or Marella or I think are particularly interesting in these categories, and then anything that they care to lob in. So, you know, Grant's kind of our office expert in budget dining. Also, David Pyle from Nature Photonics tossed in a couple of suggestions in that category. So we'll get to those too. So first of all, we have Asian. I think we've all been to Akiko's.
Akiko's is fantastic.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys like about it?
You don't really need a reservation.
Seriously?
And at lunchtime, that can be important because if you're even with a small group, you can just show up. It's best to have a reservation. When you're trying to find sort of the fine dining line, right? Like you don't want a sandwich. You're entertaining a client or whatever, and it's a last minute thing. You could try Akiko's and you probably have success.
It depends what time you go. I think there's seven dining tables that are like three or four to size.
It's a small place.
And then there's a, I think it's about an 8 to 9 seater at the sushi bar. So, I mean.
Yeah. You got to kind of go early or go late. Like, don't try going at 12:30.
I would go at 11 or later.
So, like it's super high-end sushi. But
beyond that, the food is really cool.
And they have that cool bento box kind of things that are not that expensive, right?
The bento boxes.
What do they call them? The flattened meat that's from
the tonkatsu? Katsu curries?
The tempura is good. The bento box, I think it's $15 or $16.
Yeah. You can go crazy on the nigiri sashimi kind of stuff, too. Yeah. You will just lob in here with Marachi's curry shop across the street, which David Pyle just despises, but everyone else thinks is actually pretty decent.
Well, you know, some people in our office, we all have different sort of proclivities, right?
Totally. All right, also in Asian, the other ones, the classic is Yang Sing for dim sum. Probably the best dim sum in the city, I would think most people would say. Really close to Moscone. Morales got going, you wouldn't say so?
It's very high end. It's high end dim sum. They do a really good cha lan bao, which is the soup dumplings.
Yeah, those are good.
Which is big here. But it is pretty pricey.
You won't get out for less than $35 a person.
Yeah,
it's best to go as a group because if you go
on an expense account
with two person lunch at Yang Sing, you could come up, I think, $30 per person. So
the other thing about it is they like the dim sum carts all come at once. They'll come all of them within 10 minutes, and then you're marooned for the rest of the meal.
Yeah, that's if you go to Yang Sing, you should hit up the soup dumplings and all the shrimp dumplings and other dumplings in the early part because after that, Those if you want more, it's very far and few between. You can go up to them.
Well, there is a menu, and ostensibly you could ask at any point.
You could get the menu.
But it's hit and miss.
It's a bit obtuse.
It is.
You just have
and
to
they're
flag.
Very much just pushing what's on the cart. Right?
You have literally. To flag the server and ask them to prefer, you know, to send it, because once that cart goes away, it may be a while before you see that cart again.
And
so.
Right next to it, there's the Yangtze to go. Which is, it's okay, right? It's not great, but you can get an enormous plate of food there for $9.
Well, there's two different Yangtzes, right? There's the one on
the Rincon Center.
And then the Rincon. Rincon has the to-go one. I think.
They both do.
They both do?
Yeah, the one near your office has the to-go thing, too.
Good to know.
Yeah. I didn't know that, yeah. Good to know.
Okay, otherwise, so ZNY is in Chinatown. It's really good. Szechuan. My China, or M.Y.China, is in the mall.
Oh, right.
The Westfield Mall. Really near Moscone, and it's pretty good. City View, dim sum, you know, it's big. You can get in there with a big group, but it's not as good as Yangtze. Any comments or additions from you guys?
I mean, there are some, if you want really cheaper, like $1.30 dim sum for three pieces. I mean, Chinatown has a lot of
places,
but you, it's more, if you're not... an expert with the Chinese language, it's more pointing and saying how many you want. And sometimes the service is variable, depends on which dim sum place you go. But you just have to know what you want when you get there. There's a service system there, and you have to make sure that you just are not the person that holds the lineup, because you will
get you'll be scorned. Shot on sight.
You'll get scorned from the servers and also the people behind you.
Okay, moving on to the bakery category. We all love bakeries. I think especially me and Morella. Well, I know that Morella's baking, but I don't know about bakeries. There's a lot of good bakeries in the city. My favorite is Neighbor Bakehouse over in Dogpatch. Not super close. You would have to take the light rail to get down there, but it's absolutely amazing. What are your favorites?
I haven't had much pastries in this neighborhood, so I don't...
What about the Kringles?
That's far away.
Sunset?
That's in Richmond.
In Richmond.
Yeah, so that's
How's the line at Arsico these days?
Oh, dear.
It's still bad. Yeah, so Arsico is a French bakery that was named Bon Appetit's
best new bakery
a couple months ago. And since then, it's just been lines and lines of people.
Yeah, the lines have been unmanageable.
I think they open at 8 on... They close on Mondays, and they open Tuesday through Sunday. And when I drive by 8 o'clock... there's a line about 20 people.
Yeah, it's unmanageable.
Yeah. And they always seem to sell out.
I guess it's typical, or it's reminiscent of Dominique Ansel's. What's that?
Oh, the Cronut place?
Cronuts in New York.
Yeah, so we have our own version of a Cronut phenomenon here. It's at Mr. Holmes' Bake Shop, which, what do they call, like, Crow something or other? But they're basically Cronuts. So Mr. Holmes' Bake Shop is sort of in the Tenderloin, not a great neighborhood, but they have good stuff. Also, lines, usually. Easily gotten to by Bart is The Mission, of course, which has Craftsman and Wolves and Tartine. Have you guys been to either one of those?
No, I haven't. Yeah.
No.
Well, they're on the opposite ends. Tartine is kind of traditional French, but super famous, also with a big line. It's excellent. Craftsman and Wolves is like a modernist bakery, whatever that means. Sort of arty, interesting, conceptual baked goods. If you're on Union Square and want to have something sweet and want to have a view of Union Square, you can go to Too Sweet, which is in Macy's. But for my sweet tooth, it's even too sweet. Moving on to things that Grant probably likes, the burgers and meaty stuff. So on this, I've got Coxcomb, Marlowe, and Super Duper Burgers. What are your views on Super Duper, Grant?
It's fine. As Mike wrote, it is like a West Coast Shake Shack.
Yeah.
What about In-N-Out? Does it compare to In-N-Out? A little bit, right?
In-N-Out has a even shorter menu, I think. They've got like six things in the menu. Yeah. And there's only one. It's in
Fisherman's Wharf.
Fisherman's Wharf, right. It's the only one in the city.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably the best food in Fisherman's Wharf.
It is true. Yeah, it's true.
right.
I've only been to Super Duper once. They have really pretty good shakes, and I think their burgers were fine.
They have a nice soft serve ice cream.
Soft serve ice cream.
It's like it's a 3-minute operation to stop in there, get your ice cream, and walk to your next event.
And it's Strauss Organic, I think.
Yeah.
Coxcomb is run by Chris Costantino, who used to run Encanto. I've been there a couple times, and definitely on the meaty side, but it's good and not too far, and it's easier to get into than a few places around Moscone. You guys have any other favorites in sort of like steaks and burgers and things in that category?
Well, there's some fried chicken appeal to the Tyler Florence place.
Oh, yeah, you guys went there.
Like the greatest fried chicken.
What is it called? Wax? Not Waxman's. No.
What is that place called?
You know, if you look up Tyler Florence in San Francisco, you'll find the restaurant right away. But Morella had a deeply disturbing experience there.
Oh,
but yeah, what happened?
I can tell you all about
that. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Well, so I, at one point in my life, worked at a Dairy Queen where we served food and there were French fries. And so I know what bags of French fries look like.
Yeah.
They come from a distributor, right? And actually, Grant, my colleague and I were there not too long ago.
Wayfair Tavern.
Yeah, good one, Grant. Thanks.
And as the lunch service was ending, we were sitting at the chef's bar, in fact. So we were able to see some prep happening and the fry station.
This is worse than live rats.
Well, yes. He pulled out, as he's replenishing the station, he pulls out the big brown bag of frozen French fries and proceeds to put them in this bucket. And I thought to myself, I had just eaten those French fries. They were fine. But can't you hand cut your own French fries?
Yeah, In-N-Out Burger can do it. Come on. Get a grip. But yeah, supposedly really good fried chicken, right? But it's going to be like a $30 fried chicken. This is not like a cheap thing.
This is a treat or an expense account type of outing. Yeah.
So then onto burritos. We have tons and tons of good burritos around the city, a lot of which are sort of on the weirder end. The Mission Burrito is sort of different than the San Diego burrito, which has usually French fries in it. But my favorite is Taqueria El Firelito. You guys have any preferences for Mission Burrito joints?
I haven't been to many Mission Burrito joints. I guess in downtown or financial district, there are a lot of food trucks that sell the different, as Mike says, different types of burritos. Senior Sigsig is a Filipino style.
Yeah, also on 2nd Street near Moscone.
Yeah, you just need to look up their website. Just find out where they're located.
Senor Sisig, Sisig.
Yeah. And they have a pretty accurate Twitter account and Facebook to tell you where their truck's going to be
They're good.
Located.
Solid.
Yeah, it's pretty solid Filipino style. They do a California burrito, which is the burrito with French fries. The most favorite one is the pork type of burrito. I think they do chicken and tofu.
Yep.
I have never tried the tofu. But
The sort of alt burrito is a big thing here. We have Indian
burritos. This is different than the alt right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, way.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. So
but still a very strong following.
We have one down the street from us, right? What's that one called?
Curry Up.
Curry Up now.
Which is Indian burritos.
Various opinions on that one.
There's, basically Indian food stuck inside a tortilla.
Pretty much everything is stuck inside a burrito. The Taqueria.
Yeah, and there's also Sushi Rito, which is basically taking the sushi combined with
the Sushi Rito, Taqueria,
which
sounds too much like a different word for my
taco. Yeah, wait,
it's a great play on words.
Taqueria, R E A.
Yeah, it's like taco. It's a portmanteau of taco and Korea.
Yeah,
809 Bush Street for that one,
and that's really good. If you want more of a Korean style burrito. There's also a Korean truck called Bobcha, B-O-B.
Yeah, Bobcha's good.
C-H-A, which does a really good burrito.
Where's the off the grid? That's pretty close to Moscone too, isn't it?
It's on 2nd.
Yeah, 2nd.
Okay.
They're usually there on Tuesday or Thursday. Just look at the off the grid.
Super
close to Moscone.
Bobcha and Senior Stisig are good spots there.
And there's a sort of beer garden-like feel to that off the grid, isn't there?
Yeah, it's under some long highway that has all these little put out chairs.
There's also Sushi Taka, which would be another burrito place, but it's more on the Japanese
side. Yeah, if you want sort of the hybrid between a sushi and a burrito, that's the one because it's mostly some rice with some meat, chicken, katsu, or something wrapped around with some. So it's a sort of alt burrito using sort of Nordy as sort of the wrap.
I also like HRD Coffee Shop.
I haven't been there.
Yeah, it's like the Korean place. It has regular diner food, but it also has your sort of Korean fusion burritos. It's really solid. And also maybe a 10-minute walk from Moscone or something like that. Yeah. All right, then we have a section called the Classics, which are sort of like the sort of famous restaurants that have been around for a long time in the city. And on here we have Delfina, Foreign Cinema, Range, and Zuni. For me, of these, Zuni is by far the best one. Zuni and Chez Panisse over in the East Bay are the ones that kind of started the whole seasonal, local, organic movement. The chef at Zuni passed away, Judy Rogers. Have you been to Zuni?
No.
Because it's famous for its chicken. So it takes a long time. So if you like chicken, the thing to do is to get there and like you sit down and order your chicken. It'll be there in 40 minutes.
Okay.
Something like that.
It's a whole chicken?
It's a whole chicken. Oh. So it's cut up. They brine it. They roast it. They cut it up into manageable pieces.
Okay.
And it's served over a bread salad. So it's really delicious. All the juices from the chicken get into the bread salad. It's fantastic.
Sweet.
And a lot of things are really simple, like their salad of, I think it's like some kind of Parmesan cheese and anchovies and olives. It's like $8 for these very small things, but it's this incredibly elaborate process and it's awesome. And their wine list is great and not too expensive.
Nice.
But Range is over in the Mission. It's closing soon, end of December. So last chance to get that foreign cinema.
Oh.
Also pretty fun in the Mission. Great for brunches. And Delfina kind of launched the 18th Street little mini gourmet ghetto over there. Do you guys have any other favorites in kind of this category of things that are, you know, famous
in
the
city?
Yeah,
so whenever you look at a list of top San Francisco restaurants, what's always on there is Slanted Door.
Yeah, Slanted Door.
And I find, and it's in the Ferry Building. It's not too far away.
Do you like it?
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's pretty sceney, right? It's like a beautiful restaurant right on the water.
It's best to go at nighttime so you can see the Bay Bridge lighted up. Yeah.
They have a great selection of Rieslings. Not surprising for the cuisine they're serving there. It is a little expensive, right? You're going to be looking at, per person, if you get drinks, minimum $50, right?
Probably.
Would you say?
That's
for
right.
dinner, yeah.
I would think so, yeah.
There is a Tadge Grill, which is another classic.
I haven't been there either. They had some weird press involved with one of their ex-employees and some kind of bizarre.
That's right.
But
yeah.
It's one of the oldest restaurants.
I haven't ever gone to Tadge Grill, but if you like seafood and want to wait in a classic, but I think it's the oldest restaurant.
It's one of the oldest
restaurants
in the city. Right. Yeah, that's what it's known for. Yeah.
Swan Oyster Depot, same kind of category, but without the baggage. It's over on Polk and is just a great place to go. They have really simple crab, shrimp kind of stuff. The food's very unexciting, but it's a great atmosphere. You just gotta go at opening to get in or before.
Yeah, there's only 15. It's a 15 seater. Very like counter service.
Really nice family.
But yeah, it's great. I haven't been there in years, but you have to get there early because they don't take reservations.
No,
you just stand in line and just.
I think they open at like 10:30 in the morning, so you want to get there, get in line at about 10, or I think you can go half an hour before they close at 4 o'clock and walk in probably.
And if you. That's not one place you should go as a big group. I think that's a one or two person.
Don't bring a party.
And there's actually a chance that you might not sit together because if there's a seat open.
But it's so fun.
Yeah, it's great.
It doesn't matter. Okay, moving on. We're going to skip coffee. There's coffee everywhere. Delis. What are your guys' favorite delis? Like sandwich places around the Fight Eye or around Moscone?
What about that window that with the letters?
Oh, yeah, Golden West.
Golden West.
Or the Golden West. That's a branch. Well, it's not a branch. It's run by the same guy who runs Sentinel.
Right.
Sentinel is closer to Moscone.
Yeah.
They have pretty similar food items.
Yeah.
I really like Sentinel and Golden West. It's, you know, you're going to look at like $13-14 for a sandwich. It's on the high end.
It's on the high end.
But it's really good.
They have different, Sentinel has different sandwiches than the Golden West. Golden West has a pretty good.
Like the pulled pork
sandwich is really good.
No, wait, it's short ribs.
It's short ribs.
They also have pulled pork too.
A pulled pork and a short rib, which are both pretty good.
I like their egg salad as well.
I like the Golden West more than Sentinel, more into the choices.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's pretty much order and then get your food really quickly within like a couple minutes. And because there's no place, and both places have no place to sit. So you have
it's eat to go.
Yeah. So if you go to Sentinel, you can get your sandwich and walk over to like the Contemporary Jewish Museum, hang out there, have your sandwich there. That's a nice place to go. Okay. Then there's Delibor. That's my kind of close to Moscone favorite. You guys been there at all?
No.
It's maybe like a 5-10 minute walk from Moscone. Great sandwiches. It's cool too because the guy who runs it has a Twitter account. It's at Delibor, and he's been photographing the deterioration of the neighborhood. It's in Soma.
No way.
And it has pretty serious drug and homeless issues.
Wow.
So it's graphic. But if you want to kind of check out what's going on in that neighborhood, really close to Moscone, check out at Delibor.
Wow.
Darwin Cafe, good for sandwiches and famous for a kale salad. And Y Sons in the Contemporary Jewish Museum is a pretty good Jewish deli. Any other favorites for you as far as the sandwich categories?
It's hard to find. It's in the financial district, but Lou's Sandwiches. It's on the corner of, it's on Pine and Sansom, I think.
Okay.
It's not the easiest to find.
It's in
a
I've never been there.
It's in an office building.
L-O-U
apostrophe? L-O-U, yeah. Have a branch that's very popular in the sort of inner outer Richmond, but they've expanded to the financial district.
Oh,
it's not the easiest to find. It's in a nondescript sort of office building.
Okay.
But if you look it up, you'll have the direct
And there's
address.
Often a line. You might see the line before you see
But they do really quick service.
Sansum and Pine. Okay, yeah. Great. Thanks.
It's sandwiches are probably between $8 and $9, and
it's cheap for the fried eye, right?
The fried eye, but yeah,
and it is. It's a budget,
and it's a really those are sandwiches are really good. I think they grew. I think popular ones are the buffalo chicken, which they do very well. They do a sandwich with pastrami, avocado, crab salad, bacon.
Dang, that sounds
really
good.
Which is really good. That's only $8.95. So
that's amazing.
Yeah,
you think it's real crab?
It's not real crab. It's probably
cod.
But it's still tasty.
It's so good, yeah.
Okay, so then for after Moscone, or maybe during Moscone, or first thing in the morning, we have the drinking section. For me, my place to go for cocktails is True Normand. It's T-R-O-U Normand.
And you would be tempted to get the cured meats there. They make their in-house.
Oh, yes. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous on many levels.
Many.
Yeah. Merle's right. I think it's the best charcuterie in the city. You guys went there for someone's birthday, right?
Yeah, I went for my birthday.
What did you think of it, Grant? I know you like charcuterie and that kind of stuff.
It's good.
Well,
but
we walked through where they were cutting up whole pigs. It was fabulous.
You watched them cutting up the different.
Yeah, they buy it. Some places say they're nose to tail, but they really buy in whole animals and they use the entire animal. So what it means is that in the charcuterie, you'll have everything from like head cheeses to cured meats to pâtés and things like that. It's really a nice mix, but there's a big but, isn't there?
Yeah, the cost.
Oh my God.
The cost is gone.
It is so expensive.
Extortionist.
Yeah, it's
really
bad.
I mean, so a tax and tip for a very small plate of pasta. There, other foods are great too.
$32. I had a bolognese sauce there. It's fantastic. The best ever. I'm Italian.
But then your eyes are popping out of your head like
the bill. Yours was about $22, right?
For a plate of pasta.
Yeah. No, now it's $24 for that dish.
Yeah.
So if you want to, I mean, the cocktails are, I think, $14 now there. They're great cocktails. So I think if you want to go and have really world-class cocktails and charcuterie in a nice atmosphere, go, but you know, for dinner for one person, you know, $80 would be no problem.
Absolutely.
Probably, yeah.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, McKellar Bar, probably you've been there, Grant.
I've been there, yeah.
Big sausages, really loud.
It's loud. It's
killer food.
It's right on the border of being the sketchy parts of Market.
Right. It's like a block north of Market.
It's kind of on Market and I think it's Turk.
It's like
right?
South Tenderloin. It's dodgy for sure.
It's dodgy, yeah.
Hops and Hominy has got good beers, I say.
It's good, yeah. It's more of a
fried chicken.
I don't like the food there.
It's very southern style, so it's fried chicken and grits and but I think the food's been mixed among the office.
Better selection of beers and nearby also in Bush. Hop Water Distribution. You've been there for some kind of work social event.
Yeah.
And that they have a really nice beer selection there. Garaje, or however you pronounce that. it's in Soma. It's G-A-R-A-J-E. Another great beer selection. Kind of like a punk rock atmosphere. Sandwiches, fries, weird sort of panini versions of burritos. Any other favorites for cocktails, drinks around the area? Okay. We'll skip the East Bay. There is an East Bay section, but that's kind of far from Moscone. I live in the East Bay. Right.
Is the cheese board French. On there, by the way?
Cheese board is on there, definitely. Yeah. The French section, I don't know, like most of the food in the city is like modern California. It could be French, it could be Italian, it's some kind of version of that. Where would you all go for French food? But this is not really in Grant's wheelhouse.
That's not my wheelhouse, yeah. That's what's more.
I see have Michael Mina on there.
Have you been to Michael Mina, Marilla?
I've been to Michael Mina, but it was
many years ago. When it was in the hotel?
When it was
in the Fairmont?
Right.
Okay, so Michael Mina is now where Aqua used to be. I mean, Michael Mina was the chef at Aqua, left, came back, reopened his own place there eventually. What's nice about Michael Mina is it got a great atmosphere. It's fancy, but they're, you know, the nice friendly service. The prefix lunch is only $55. So tax and tip and water only, you can get out for $70. So I think for that kind of food, it's actually not a bad value.
Mm-hmm.
Francis is really good. It's kind of over in Castro area. Also, they have Octavia by the same chef. And it's just like fantastic, simple, excellent French food. And they do their own house blended wines, reasonable wine list. If you can get into Francis, I say go for sure. Monsieur Benjamin, run by Corey Lee, who also runs Bennu, which none of us have been to because we can't afford dinner for $500.
That's quite a feast.
Yeah.
And Petit Crène, which is run by
also
Dominique Ancel, and it's like the cheap version of Atelier Crène. Mm-hmm. Any other attempts for French?
No.
Okay, Morello's been to my lone Greek pick quite a bit. What do you think of Kokkari?
Oh, Kokkari is very solid Mediterranean. The flavors are good. They use quality ingredients. They have an extensive wine collection, if I recall. Yeah, it's all the stuff you would expect, right?
But it's not going to be like
the Mediterranean,
like just like schlocky moussaka or something like that. It's going to be really good quality ingredients,
right? And you're going to get a skewer of meat, and it's all going to be charred perfectly and cooked beautifully. And
famous for octopus.
Famous for octopus. I did not have that.
Yeah,
I have not had that.
Okay, we're gonna skip the ridiculously high end section. There is a big section on the website forecastpod.org that has about 8 places, each of which are going to hit you about $300 to $500 per person to go to. But we do have world class high end dining in the city.
Exactly.
If you want to go to it, I mean, I've actually never been to any of those places because I just cannot afford them. No way.
The Lazy Bear, you know, I think is probably the most accessible. It's probably about $150.
Oh, okay, right. A big kind of communal table atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a lot more fun than a lot of the really serious high end places. Lazy Bear in the Mission, right?
That's right.
Okay, at the opposite end of the extreme, now we're moving back into Grant's territory. So these are like Indian and Pakistani dives, and the two that are on here are Shalimar and Pakwan. Grant.
So yeah, they're sort of located in sort of an Indian sort of heavy, where a lot of Indian restaurants are, Pakistani restaurants are, which is between O'Farrell and Jones.
Mm.
It's right on the edge of the Tenderloin. Shalimar and Pakwan, which are on the list here, are very nearby to each other. Shalimar, as Mike wrote, is very smoky because there's no...
Because of the grill, right?
Because of the grill.
And the
tandoori grill and lack of ventilation. It's not the cleanest. It's not going to get high scores on the health score. The service is...
It's weird. I don't understand the service. They posted their credentials as having had, right, the inspections passed. So if you're in doubt, it's...
They have a passing score.
It's to be known that they've passed.
It's not going to be 100, nor is it going to be 40. It's somewhere between there. The service is... It's unreliable, but the food's really good.
The food is...
We have to go to the Tandoor there.
Perfect,
I think it's pretty strong.
Yeah, it's the perfect dive.
Yeah. So I haven't been to Pakwan, but do you like the burger?
I like Pakwan a lot. It's just one block down from Shalimar if you're walking down Jones. They're comparable to Shalimar in a lot of their Indian food, but what they're really known for is their biryanis. They do a really good lamb and chicken biryani that... the size of it's like a mountain, basically, when you get it. And if you go there if you're really hungry, because you could probably eat the whole thing. But if you have you could actually make 2 meals out of it.
Yeah.
And it's right now it's about $11.95. It used to be about $9 or even cheaper, but I think with inflation it's going up. So yeah. But I highly recommend the biryanis from Pakwan. They're really good.
Then on the other eye-based food item, Italian. Back in kind of Morello's area, there's quite a few on here. We got like Catonia, Perbacco, Rich Table, Salt House, Tosca. Some of these are kind of nominally Italian, but Morello, what are your favorites?
Perbacco is maybe the most of the Italian, you know, most closely. And they have a sister restaurant, Barbacco.
Yeah, which is a little bit cheaper.
A little
more
but
casual.
They still have the same quality of food, I think.
They
also make their own charcuterie there.
Yeah.
So the
not as good as Trunermont.
Agreed, but the mortadella is good. They're good. Their pastas are on point. Like they're they al dente. Like you want an Italian.
Their fried Brussels sprouts are really good.
I've had those at Barbacco.
Yeah, they have it both, but I think they're both really they're really.
We're actually going there for our holiday party in about half an hour. So.
Actually, it's today.
Yeah.
What else?
Catonia. So Catonia is the cheap spinoff of Quince, which is this ridiculously high end place, and they have. I don't know. It still seems ridiculously expensive, but good pizzas and good pastas. It'll be smaller portions, but very good quality stuff. Kind of on the way up to North Beach. Salt House. Actually, Morella suggested I put Salt House back on. It's not really Italian. It's like French, Italian, California.
Sure, it's California.
But a good option for like a somewhat upscale lunch near Moscone.
It's very close.
And it's cool because they have something like 6-7 bottles of orange wine on the wine list, which you almost never see. So if you like orange wine, these are wines that are white wines but made in the red wine style. Mm-hmm. Tosca is interesting. So if you know April Blumenfeld, mm-hmm. who runs a Spotted Pig in New York City, or maybe you've been to St. John in London, it's kind of in that style. And it's this beautiful old restaurant that was semi-derelict that they renovated in a massive way. You can order the off-menu meatballs, which are really tasty. Mm-hmm. Then we have kind of a couple of places that are sort of in this only in San Francisco category. We've already talked about Swan, but there's also State Bird Provisions and The Progress. So, Morella, you've been to State Bird Provisions and have some thoughts
on Progress.
That. Yeah, what are your thoughts on those two places?
They're right next door to each other. They're hard to get into. They're very trendy, but I know the tricks. You can ask me.
What do they serve? What kind of food is it?
Fusion. California Asian.
Does the Progress also do the shtick with the carts?
No, so they have two different schemes. The State Bird Provisions, as you indicated, it's more of a dim sum feel.
But it's not Asian dim sum.
No, it's carts of, you know, well-presented, plated food of the California style.
Yeah.
So you pick from the cart and, you know, you go with a group. Is best, right? So you can get more of the items. And the Progress is the same owners, but they have a different, also group-oriented, but you can go with two people. And what they do is they bring you all family style. So you order sort of as a table, and you get a plate that's big enough to serve everybody that's at that table.
Right,
and so there's not like an odd number of carrots if you have four people. And so you're not the person picking the last carrot and you've already had your share.
Mm.
There's none of that sort of awkwardness. It's just family style. It's like truly family style. So that's I like that about that. And
I've heard that also at the Progress, you can get into the bar more easily than you can at State Bird. You can kind of do walk into the bar and get the full menu there.
The State Bird bar, you probably don't even want to be at the bar because it's right next to the door and It's a bad setup.
Anything else in the kind of category of stuff that's super unusual you'd only find here in the city? Well, what you'll find everywhere, of course, is pizza. We have a huge range of pizza. What you're not really going to find is a classic New York slice. The closest we have is Tony's Slice House, which is right across from Tony's Pizza Napolitana in North Beach. And really close to there is my personal favorite, which is Golden Boy. It's focaccia-style pizza, but Grant and David have had some mixed experiences there.
Yeah, so they're the only pizza place that I know that has a clam and garlic pizza. And it depends. If you like clam,
if you like garlic,
with cheese on pizza, I think that's the only place I know that.
I've never seen it anywhere else.
And that is depends on your clam, whether you like clams or not. It's a really good pizza. Sometimes they're... But the quality of the pizza is often like hit or miss. That's the one that's a careful balance. Clam and garlic, you need to balance it very well. And sometimes it goes too far.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the clam pizza myself just because I don't like the combination. But of the pizzas I do get there, I never had a bad pizza. But sounds like you may be running some risks if you get the clam. Not from food safety.
I think it's just more just the serve. Brininess of the clam. Yeah. They do a really good combination, which is the sausage, pepperoni, and all the peppers. Vegetables.
Yeah, that's really good. And it's cheap. You can get two huge slices for something like $8-$9.
Right? I think it's like $3.75 a slice.
And they have a good beer selection.
Yeah.
And they also have a sign that says, regarding their punk rock music, we never turn it down, only out. So get ready for that. Then there's Little Star, all deep dish, but more like Chicago style over in the Mission. I like Little Star a lot.
Yeah, I like that.
And the 00 is close to Moscone. It's run by the same people who have the place over in Larkspur, whose name I forget. I want to say it's Pico Pizza. Yeah, it is Pico. And it's sort of Neapolitan style. Big place. You can get reservations for big groups. I don't think it's great, but it's really convenient to Moscone. Any other pizza favorites?
Maybe go to Tony's for some kind of Detroit style
pizza. Oh, yeah. We got their Detroit style pizza. I think this is apocryphal, but they serve it in things that look like the tool trays from old car manufacturing places, so the idea is that people would make the pizza in the tool trays.
It's like a modified Chicago.
Yeah, it's right. Really, really heavy. Was my take on that.
It's like a heavier Chicago style. I think.
Yeah.
Is there a Blue Line in on the peninsula? We have a couple of Blue Line pizza.
I don't think we have Blue Line in the
really
city.
Nice.
I didn't know that one. Cool. So if you're down in, worry about it. Is it in San Mateo?
There's one in Burlingame.
Okay.
And there's one in San Carlos, at least. There's one or two others.
Okay. So a seafood, I mean, most places you go to are going to have seafood on the menu anyway, so it's sort of having a seafood category. Definitely places like Tadish Grill and Swan are seafood places, but we've also got Farallon, which is on Union Square and has a good happy hour. Hog Island in the Ferry Building and Water Bar. Have you guys been to any of those?
No. So you talked about Salt House.
Yeah, Salt House has good fish.
Anchor and Hope.
Anchor and Hope. A sister. Yeah, exactly.
They have fish.
They have a good happy hour. I haven't been to it, but they should have good stuff there. Hog Island has an amazing joint up in Tamales Bay where they grow their oysters. And if you can get up there, you can go without reservations, I think during the week and only during winter, and go to their bar up there or book a picnic table. Water Bar has dollar oysters for happy hour and should be a pretty impeccable quality there.
And the scenery is great, right?
Right on the Embarcadero. Great location, beautiful restaurant. They also have reasonably priced wine with a glass for that happy hour. I think if you want to do oyster happy hour, I would go there.
Yeah.
I think every day, right?
I would do that.
For 3 to 7 o'clock, I think. And then I'd say almost our last category, tapas, Bocadillos, over on maybe like South and North Beach area, run by the same guy who has Piperad over on the eastern side of Telegraph
that's
Hill.
That's still around?
As far as I know, yeah. It's really
that's the Basque place.
Yeah, the Basque place. I think it's still around. I've only eaten there once, but I had a good time.
Yeah, me too.
Bocadillos has a good wine list, pretty reasonably priced, and I wouldn't call it innovative tapas, but they're good. They're solid. Coqueta. Did you go to Coqueta?
That's the Chiarello restaurant.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're kind of banning him right now.
Why is that? Well, he had some kind of weird trouble.
There's some lawsuits.
There's some lawsuits. Well, anyway, David and I went there for lunch a while ago. It's definitely a beautiful restaurant. Again, right on the Embarcadero. And it has a little bar area or a dining room area. And it's expensive, but the food quality, independent of the lawsuits, is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, sure.
Then, so finally, there's Thai. We've all been to Ken Khao. Twisted Grant and Morella's arm to go there, and I'm not sure they liked it as much as I did. What did you think?
I went a second time, and it was great for dinner.
Okay.
Yeah, we went for lunch, and I think the menu was more limited.
The lunch menu is pretty limited.
Yeah, I think the dinner menu is a lot better. Yeah. I can't remember. I think everything I had was great.
I love Kim Khao. Yeah. It's not like your sort of schlocky Thai food. It's Thai food like you might get in Thailand.
And it's a little bit on the higher, on the higher end.
It has a Michelin star now, so prices are up. They've also gotten access to a much better selection of Rieslings, sort of like an $80 to $90 bottle of category, but they're great Rieslings. And the flavors are really strong, like super tangy, get really hot food, things you won't find in Thai restaurants, I think anywhere else in the city. Any other tips from you, Union Square area?
For Thai, I think if you want to brave the tenderloin, I think Saijai and Leroy, R-O-S, is sort of the more low-end kind of, but really good Thai.
Leroy got shut down for food safety stuff.
Oh, so.
But they've reopened, and that's probably the best time to go to a previously dodgy restaurant.
Exactly.
After reopening and re-inspection. Yeah,
but they're both in the tenderloin, but they're
well-known. You know what else is in the tenderloin that had this similar health inspection closed down? Toulon. I've never been there.
Toulon, 6th and Market. Actually, someone on Twitter recommended that.
It's a very dodgy part of 6th Street.
6th and Market is horrendous.
Yes.
Yeah. There's like a needle exchange right across the street. But it's great food. Toulon.
So Toulon has Imperial Rolls. You could do a comparison of the Imperial Rolls at Slanted Door and then at Toulon and let me know what you think about it. I would be really curious to know. So David Pyle also made the recommendation that if you're just going out walking, don't walk to Union Square from Moscone. A good alternative to go to if you want to just kind of go and check out places and find something on your own is Kearney Street.
Oh,
sort of around Bush and about one or two blocks north and south of Bush, mostly north. There's a lot of places there, Japanese places, sandwich shops. There's Ramen Underground. There's Barachi's for Japanese curry.
There's a Super Duper there.
It's a Super Duper there. So just go and cruise through that area and you might find something good. But David's right. If you possibly can, don't go to Union Square. It's kind of a wasteland for good food.
It is.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
It's like Fisherman's Wharf.
Oh, man. Don't go to Fisherman's Wharf.
Actually, the Westfield Mall, it's not the food court's not the worst thing.
It's
ever.
That's a really good point.
That's where MY China is.
MY China is on the top floor, but on the bottom floor, in the basement, there is a good food court. Actually, the new food court right across from Moscone in the Metreon is not bad.
As well, if you are in Union Square, there is a top Macy's overlooking, I guess they have a...
Don't say Cheesecake Factory.
No, I wasn't going to say Cheesecake Factory. But people go there. I don't understand. The Burger Barn.
Oh, I haven't been there. What's Keller, that about? Is it a Michael Keller?
No, it's not.
Michael Keller.
It's the other Keller. The one that has a Keller.
The one with the motorcycle.
The one in Vegas. I can't remember. It's the one that he has.
Burger Bar. It's not bad. Okay. No, it's actually pretty good. It's good.
Herbert Keller.
You could get
Herbert
a flight of milkshakes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They have and if you want to throw in $1,000, they have a chocolate foie gras burger.
That's going to kind of be a miss with the AGU crowd, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So, speaking of ice cream, over in the Mission, right across from Delfina, is Byright Creamery, which does have awfully good ice cream. Ferry Building.
Humphrey Slocum, if you're at Slanted Door eating your Vietnamese, you go to Humphrey Slocum. Well, after you've
had... I hate Humphrey Slocum.
I know you do. Inconsistent...
Okay, Humphrey Slocum is based in the Mission, or sort of inner Mission. Yeah. They have all these fancy flavors like black sesame and things
prosciutto.
Like that. Prosciutto. Okay, the flavors are interesting, but the basic ice cream quality is just wretched.
I don't know about wretched.
Okay, I've had things that have been like obviously remelted, too soft, or like big globules of unincorporated fat, things like that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I've not
had that experience. I've had experience where different flavors have different consistency. So if you get like a cone with two scoops.
Exactly.
The one's dripping and the other one's solidly frozen because it's really dense and the other one's not.
Mirella, I won't stand for it.
Okay, we're not doing that. Never mind.
But what I do recommend if you want... Gelato, go to Lush Gelato on Polk Street, is a branch of the one that I go to in Berkeley. It's kind of far from Moscone, but if you're up around Polk Street, it's fantastic.
Nice.
Okay. Thanks, Grant. Thanks, Marilla.
Well, thank you for having us.
And I hope this is helpful to all of you. See ya.
Happy eating.
Thanks again, Grant and Marilla. That was Grant Miura and Marilla Bucci. I do have the more detailed version of most of these places, including links to them at forecastpod.org. I'm at AGU all week. If all goes according to plan, feel free to track me down. I'm tall and bald. You can also reach me at forecastpod@gmail.com. Or if it's nature business, feel free to try me on my work account at m.white@us.nature.com. I hope to see you next week.